And these are the generations of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham begat Isaac. And Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian of Paddan Aram, the sister to Laban the Syrian. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife, because she was barren. And the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah his wife conceived. And the children struggled together within her. And she said, If it be so, why am I thus? And she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said unto her, Two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red all over like an hairy garment, and they called his name Esau. And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them. And the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man, dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau, because he did eat of his venison. But Rebekah loved Jacob. Welcome again to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. And this is our day to look at another great story in the Bible. The Bible is made up of stories, life incidents, events, men and women who were leaders, sometimes failures, and others who had the signal blessing of God. And today we're going to learn about Jacob. Jacob, the man whom, well, none of us would choose. None of us would set forth as a model. And yet, God set his love upon him. This comes under the category of Christian doctrine on election. Now, we're going to look at that in more detail toward the end of the program. Because there's a great text that says, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. And that troubles many people. The idea that God does the choosing or the bypassing over souls. And yet it is in the Bible. It is a clear Bible doctrine. And I want to introduce it to you today. And I want you to listen to this amazing story of how these twin brothers were born into the world. Esau first, Jacob second, but it was Jacob that received the blessing. And I trust that today that you will listen very carefully and may the Lord minister to your heart. Let's firstly have a hymn, and may you be just encouraged to wait on the Lord today in a worshipful attitude. The Lord loves a cheerful giver, and that applies to much more than just our money. He wants us to give him our hearts, our talents, and our time. So just sit still a moment. And let the Lord minister to your heart and wait on him.
Oh, for a thousand times to
Today we're coming to our Bible story, and it's for the boys and girls, and I hope that you will listen right through the story today. And this story is on how Jacob received the blessing. I wonder, do you have a brother? Now, brothers usually mean trouble. It's very common to have a brother who is a bit of a nuisance. It's not so common to have a brother that is an encourager. Boys, I want to know, do you ever fight? Well, I know you do because, well, I was young once and I had a brother. He was nearly 3 years older than me, and I'm afraid that he might tell you that I was a real bother and a trouble to him when we were young. Today's story is about two brothers who were twins, and even before they were born, they were struggling in their mother's womb, and so they were set for a life of fighting. Esau was born first, and then Jacob was born immediately after because he came forth holding to the heel of Esau. And the Bible says that Esau and Jacob were twins, but Esau was red-skinned and lots of hair all over his body, while Jacob, he was smooth-skinned. Now, both boys grew as children in the home of their father Isaac and their mother Rebekah. And Esau, he became a hunter in the fields. But Jacob, he liked to stay close to home and help his mom. Esau was a daddy's boy, and Jacob, he was a mommy's boy. Now, it's usually not good for parents to have favorites in the home, but Isaac and Rebekah did. They had favorites. Isaac favored Esau, and Rebekah, she favored Jacob. And the Bible says that Isaac loved Esau because of his hunting and his venison stew that he made. Now, venison is meat from deer, and to hunt deer is very difficult, and it takes a lot of time and effort to find that deer, bring it home, and to prepare its meat. The Bible also says that Rebekah loved her son Jacob because Jacob loved to be at home helping with the cooking. And so you can see that while the two brothers were twins, that they were also very different. Now, that's okay to have different interests in life, but it's not okay to be fighting about it as Jacob and Esau did. Now, because Esau was the firstborn, he was called the firstborn. He was born first, therefore he was called the firstborn, which meant that Esau would get all of his father's riches. And Isaac promised to give all the riches and the promises of God to Esau. You see, Isaac was very rich. He prospered in the land of the Philistines. And even in a time of famine, he sowed grain and seed, and God gave him a harvest of 100-fold. And I think he gave him many such harvests because he prospered and prospered. His herds prospered, his flocks prospered, and he needed many servants to look after all his animals and to look after his crops. One day, Esau was out in the field hunting venison. He was out for a long time in the fresh air, running and hunting, so that when he returned home, he was so hungry, he thought he was going to faint and die. Jacob had been cooking meat stew, and its hot, savory smells were floating through the air. And when Esau smelled that stew, he said to his brother Jacob, "Give me some of that stew." And right then, Jacob found his opportunity to bargain with Esau about his birthright. He took advantage of Esau's hunger and blurted out, "Sell me your birthright." Jacob wanted the blessings that Abram had given to Isaac, and Isaac would give to his son Esau. Jacob wanted the future favor of God for himself so that he could become the head of the specially chosen people of God. Now Esau was careless about his birthright, and he was so hungry that there and then he sold his birthright to Jacob for a pot of red stew. Can you believe that? What was he thinking? He thought more of one bowl of hot steaming stew than he would just to take away his bodily hunger, than all the riches that his birthright would bring to him. And the New Testament book of Hebrews tells us of how Esau sold his birthright and how he lost the blessing. Let me read to you Hebrews 12, verse 16. "Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright." That would be like you or me saying, "I don't want to be a Christian. I don't care about the Bible or the promises of God. I don't want to be saved and go to heaven." And you would be saying, "I would rather enjoy the world just for a little bit, and I have no interest in ever seeking the blessings of heaven." Now that would be terrible. And you would lose your soul and lose everything that God has in store for you through the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Now, if you are growing up in a Christian home and have been taught the Bible and how to pray, and if you have been in church every week since a child in your mother's arms, and should you then come to a point where you will not trust and serve the Lord, then you reject the truth of the gospel. If you say that Jesus either didn't die at all or that his death has nothing at all to do with you, then you're like Esau. You are selling your soul. The reality is that you want to follow the lusts of this world. You want the pleasures of sin for a little bit. You want the things that ungodly people talk about and live for. You want to join your friends at school to do and say all that they would do and say. And so, tempting you right now. You're despising the truth, and you're denying the way of salvation by faith in the Lord Jesus. And I want to warn you that if you sell your soul, as Esau did, you may never, ever get the blessing back. It would be better for you never to have known the gospel that is in the crosswork of the Lord Jesus at Calvary. It would be better if you had lived in a godless land. But to hear and know the gospel of grace, to read the Bible for yourself, and to watch God's people living for Jesus and then turn away from it all is to damn your soul forever. And so don't do what Esau did, for he could not get the blessing back again. This is a great warning. And I want to read to you the next verse in Hebrews chapter 12. "For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears." So don't sell your soul. Don't allow the seeming sweet taste of this world cause you to give up your standing or seeking to be a Christian, to become a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the wonderful news that comes from this story is that while Esau lost the blessing and lost his soul, that Jacob,
He received the blessing, even though he was a sinner, even though he was a deceiver and a twister and many things that he had done wrong, yet the blessing became Jacob's. And that's the wonderful good news, because we're told that God loved Jacob. He set his love upon him, not because he was worthy, not because he was good, but because he loved him. And God is doing that all the time when he calls sinners to believe in the Lord Jesus. And so let that be an encouragement to you today, that the Lord will save you and he will draw you to trust in him. So bow your knee and call upon the Lord Jesus to be your Lord and your Savior. Invite him to come into your heart today and to give you the eternal riches, the eternal blessings that are in the Lord Jesus, that are promised to you when you believe in God's Son for salvation. So don't be like Esau, who despised his birthright, his heritage, but believe on the Lord Jesus and be saved, and God will bless you mightily.
Thanks to God for my Redeemer. Thanks for all thou dost provide. Thanks for times now but a memory. Thanks for Jesus by my side. Thanks for pleasant, cheerful springtime. Thanks for summer, winter, fall. Thanks for tears by now forgotten. Thanks for peace within my soul.
Thanks for prayers that thou hast answered. Thanks for what thou dost deny. Thanks for storms that I have weathered. Thanks for all thou dost supply. Thanks for pain and thanks for pleasure. Thanks for comfort in despair.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. Thank you for being a part of the program, and today I just want to say a few words on this matter of the electing love of God, that amazing fact that God in his eternal sovereign grace chooses sinners to eternal life. Now, if you've listened carefully to the story of Jacob and Esau, you have really the foundation for this. And one of the most comforting and reassuring doctrines in the Bible is election. Now, to some, alarm bells go off when they hear that word election. But please remember that it is a Bible word, and election is also a gospel word. It is found throughout the Bible. Israel were God's elect people. God selected them out of all other nations to be distinctly his own covenant people. And Christ Jesus, the Lord himself, was appointed as the Father's elect. And Jesus was God's chosen son to be the redeemer of his people. In Jesus' ministry, he referred also to the elect. He said that the days of tribulation would be shortened for the elect's sake. And he also said, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you." And so you can see from all of these references that this truth of God's electing purposes, that he chooses individuals to eternal life, they are called his church, and church is based on the Greek word ekklesia, called out, and the Lord calls certain people to be his church, his people. Now, I want to bring you to the classic passage in the New Testament on the doctrine of election. And it's found in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. So what I'd like to do is to read the verse and just say a few things and then move on to the next verse. So Ephesians 1 verse 4, according as he, that is God the Father, hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. And so we learn here that it is the Father that does the choosing. We see the time of his choosing is before the world was ever created, before we were ever born. And so the reason for his electing is not because we're better or that we have done more or done something different, but rather God in the very eternity past decreed, he predestinated his people to eternal life. Now you might say, but you're playing with words. These words, are they really in the Bible? Well, let me just finish the verse 4, and then we'll move to verse 5. That we should be holy and without blame before him in love. There's the purpose of election, that we should be sinless, holy, and brought before God in love. That's the end result. That's the goal of election. Now, to accomplish that, it says, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ. Now, the word predestination simply means to pre-program our destiny. That means that God, in his decrees, his own determination, he decided that he would choose this one and that one. They are called his elect, and he names them and he appoints them by pre-programming their destiny. So that though we are born into this world as sinners, sons of Adam, yet in the mind of God, he has a purpose to bring us at a point of time into union with his Son, the Lord Jesus. All things are brought by our union with the Lord Jesus. And if we have Jesus, then we have every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Could I read that to you in the verse 3? Who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And that's the gospel. If I have Jesus, I have every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Now, all of this God does according to the good pleasure of his own will. And you will read that in Ephesians 1 verse 5. According to the good pleasure of his will. It's not my will. It's not the will of the church or the determination of some evangelist, but rather it is the will, the good pleasure of God. And so the reason for our salvation is found in God alone. He chooses, he wills it, and he works it within our hearts. Let that comfort your soul today and bring praises unto the Lord. You are listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of the Free Presbyterian Church in Canada. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca CA for Canada. There you can read my blog, find my Bible study notes, audio and video sermons, as well as helpful articles. Or you can go to our podcast on iTunes. We're on the air Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services on Sundays, 10:30 and 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view to our online services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Make it your Sunday worship. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-897-2040. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We're located just two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. Our website again is ltbs.ca. You can join us Monday to Friday, 5 a.m., 5 p.m., here on this station as we let the Bible speak.